Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino, and Hashtag No Limits is about people limits that people have had placed on them by society. Oh my goodness, I don't know what's wrong with me today, but who are busting through those limits. And Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. The caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells and then reforms into the butterfly. And while that is not an easy process, it's not the end of their process. They then have to struggle in order for their wings to be able to be strong enough to get them where they want to go once they get out of the cocoon. As I said, none of that can be easy, but neither is busting through limits that society places upon a person. And today, for those of you who are watching and are normal viewers, you'll notice that I didn't start off with my guest. I'm going to bring her in now. I was just trying out some settings differently on the live stream here today. So that brings me to my guest, Karen Hoffman. Karen is the founder of Gateway to Dreams out of St. Louis, Missouri, and I'm really excited to share her with you. I found her because someone tagged her in one of my posts on LinkedIn, I think it was. And so I reached out to her and we just hit it off beautifully and instantly. So Karen, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So tell us about yourself. Tell us about Gateway to Dreams.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot. just talking about Gateway to Dreams is a lot, but yeah, we created a nonprofit here in St. Louis, and our original intention was really focused on helping people with the dreams that they had, knowing that not everyone goes for their dreams. And we wanted to create a safe environment where people could share their dreams and then we could help support them. But it became even more than that. Along the way, we really started caring about the inclusivity of our whole community. And so we make sure that people feel welcome no matter where they're from. And we have some amazing stories of people who've accomplished some fun things, some cool things, some very meaningful things by creating just a safe space. We're located in a mall that will be torn down in the next few years, but we have 6,400 square feet where we can come together and dream together. I don't know where to go from there because I could just talk forever about what we do.
Well, that's part of why, you know, I felt that you would be a great guest on Hashtag No Limits, because you have a lot of stories through Gateway to Dreams, but also your own personal story. So do you want to continue to talk about Gateway to Dreams and those people who are busting through limits, or if you want to share your own personal story, however you would like to do it?
I think I'll go into some stories, and then I want to share some things I've actually learned along the way. So one of the programs we have is something called The Joy of Goals. And it's a program that's about 23, 24 years old now, although officially it's not that old. It started when I had my own small company and I was trying to figure out how to motivate my employees. I didn't know how to do that. I have enough trouble just getting myself going without, you know, trying to make sure that people do their job, but my job was to make sure people did their job. So between Christmas and New Year's one year, I put on a little workshop for my team. And one of the most, and I didn't know it till, you know, months later, but one of the most amazing things came out of asking them to set goals. Now, I kind of use the word goal and dream sometimes the same way. To me, the goal is more specific than just the dream, but we have to dream to have goals. If you can't dream of something you want to do or something you want to have, then it's really hard to go after it. So, I had my employees come up with 10 personal dreams and 10 business goals. Back then, I called everything goals, though. So, and what I learned was that one of my employees in particular was not a very friendly person. He was a very good guy. And now I look back and he probably suffered from some depression. But when he came into work, I'm the kind of person that says, good morning, kind of cheerful. And he just would never say good morning back. And it used to bug me. But now I realize, you know, he didn't feel that way. He was coming into an office without windows. And part of his makeup was he's an outdoor guy. And every day, you know, and I learned this. I didn't know this, but I learned that, you know, I can only imagine if the outdoors was where I preferred to be and I'm stuck in this office. So one of his goals was to be outside more. And I took that to mean for me, if he made his goal for the week, take Friday afternoon off. Don't come in. And it was interesting because people always say, I want to make more money and I want to make more money. And you give them the opportunity to make more money, but maybe they don't do it. But when he had this goal aligned with being outside, he made his goals almost every week, which I found, you know, like what really mattered to him was the outdoors. I always say he should have been a park ranger. Another one of the employees was a single mom who'd been on welfare and lived in subsidized apartments. And she wanted on her list of things, one of them was to own her own home. Well, I had married young. I was 18. And at 19, my husband and I were blessed to be able to buy our own home, not because we had money, but because I have a lot of creativity. I used to think I was creative because I was poor. And now I realize that I'm creative and it really doesn't have to do with money. But when I was younger, the thought of us renting an apartment or renting a home versus buying, I started putting all these pieces together. Oh, you have to have a down payment. I mean, you have to have a first month and last month's rent. Oh, you have to do this. Oh, you have to do that. Well, if you're buying a home, you're going to need a down payment. And, you know, FHA might help with that. And then the seller pay closing. And anyway, you know, at 19, actually, we were 19 and 20. We were in our own home. And so I talked to a friend of mine in real estate, and I told him, and I had been in real estate, so I knew a lot about real estate. So I went to him, and back then, 20 something years ago, 20 something years ago. I told him, you know, her salary is around $35,000 a year. I don't want her in over her head. Find her a house. And he really did. He went out and he got her a house that she's still in to this day. And it showed me two things. That I don't know that people know how to dream on their own. And the other thing is how easy it is to help people with knowledge that I might have that they don't have. Mm-hmm. And so it turned me kind of, I won't say it was overnight, but through the years, I'd always been called like the idea person or whatever. And the St. Louis Magazine actually did a big story on me and called me the queen of possibilities because my brain doesn't shut off. It thinks of, you know, like for her, my first thing was, well, if I did that, she can do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I reached out to someone in real estate and said, basically, make it happen. And actually, years later, I found her list. I'm a paper hoarder. I hate you to admit
to, it. Karen, you need to move your camera down. I'll ever see. There we go. Okay. We were getting your eyes and that was it.
I was scratching my hand.
Oh, sorry.
So anyway, I'm a paper hoarder, and years later, I came across her 10 items that were personal, and I sent them to her, and she was blown away. She said, I have everything that has happened that I wanted is on that list. So that also, there's a book called Write It Down, Make It Happen. I do believe that the more clarity you have, the more that God, the universe can deliver. So, you know, that was one thing. Another person that had gone through my official Joy of Goals workshop was a young mother who had her daughter, I think at 14, and it was sickle cell. I was doing a workshop for a nonprofit, and I was noticing that she didn't write down goals. We had this page, And finally, you know, I said something. Well, she was the kind of person that liked to write in pencil so you can erase things. And we didn't have any there, but she started writing down. But there was this time when she was just sitting there. And I feel like this was really rude of me and not the way I normally act. So I always blame this on God. But she was sitting there and she said she had a dream, but she didn't feel like she could write it down. And so out of my mouth came, "So you don't think God's big enough for your dreams?" And it was if I had slapped her across the face. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
I looked at her and I was like, "Ooh, what's she going to say to me?" But she went ahead and she wrote it down. A few weeks later, I get an email from her. And I'm actually still new at this. I've only been doing these workshops, you know, maybe 2 years at this point. And she says in the subject line, "Karen, you've really done it now." Okay, I was raised a Baptist girl. For almost all my life, I used to say, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Right.
And so my immediate thought is, who am I to tell people they could go for their dreams? But I opened it up. And her dream had been to start a nonprofit to help families with sickle cell, which is what her daughter had. Oh. And when she gave birth to her, she was so young, she knew nothing about sickle cell. She knew nothing about carriers or anything like that. But what she wanted to do was help others. So she had taken her dream and she had went to the hospital where her daughter was treated and told them she wanted to start a nonprofit to help. And they literally said, "We've been waiting for you. We have money."
Oh, my gosh.
And wow. And she is still operating. And she has a sickle cell walk every fall that has, it has reached, before COVID, it had reached over 1,000. But this woman had a dream in her that she was afraid to kind of go after. So that's just a couple of things that I've watched through it. But, you know, along the way, I realize even more. And I'm going to say that what we have at Gateway is we have Gateway to Dreams is our 501c3. And then under the 501c3, we have programs. So one of our programs is connecting and promoting women. And once a month, by Zoom or face-to-face. We have an amazing team that helps us with Zoom. We host the Connecting and Promoting Women. And that has an educational speaker and a what we call a personal story. So we want to learn, but we want to help people make a deeper connection. And with the personal story, that happens. You can't not tell a personal story and not have people feel, you know, something, especially our tribe. It's a group of really caring, amazing, smart women. And then we have another program called Write Your Book Right Now, which you are going to be a guest on. We've had some issues with my health, although those are now being taken care of. But then we had, during COVID, we had stopped one of our programs. It's called Your Collaborative Board, which was a mastermind for women only. And it's, let's see, Write Your Book, YCBO. And then I wanted to start an official program for the nonprofit community. I had not worked in the nonprofit community till I had years ago at one business organization, but it wasn't like a real nonprofit that's out there trying to change the world and help people. But I have spent the last 10 years now having members that are nonprofits. Women and nonprofits are our market, and have found that nonprofits make the world go round. And I consider our political system kind of broken, but what I see not broken is the hearts and the passion that nonprofits have to serve their community, whatever that community is. So we started St. Louis, Nonprofits Rock St. Louis, and we don't host a monthly meeting. Our goal is to do one a quarter. But the last one that we had reminded me of the power of a room of people and the genius that happens in a room. When I first started the Joy of Goals, and we would put on our public event once a year, there was a woman who got up that said she wanted to receive a Nobel Peace Prize for the work she was doing. She had a nonprofit. And you could tell some of the women in the room, I think it was all women, that there was a, like, really? And the only way you can receive a nomination is through others who have received it. Well, in our room, there was an attorney who had two people that she knew that had received the Nobel Peace Prize. Either it was like the son of one, or, you know, they were people that she could reach out to, literally.
Wow.
And I remember, you know, here I was, the woman preaching this and seeing it on a smaller scale, but seeing it that way was huge. And so in September, we had the nonprofit Rocks, and one of our co-facilitators was asking us to put out in the room, who do you want to meet? And so we were doing that, and I actually put out someone I wanted to meet that I've been trying to get with. And one of my close friends literally said, oh, I'm going to be with him next Thursday night. And I'm there like, are you kidding me? She's going to be filming. And then someone else in the room, they had said something. It was some crazy thing, an opportunity that had to do with a big grant and had to do with drones. Well, one of the women in the room rescues Mustangs. And I had no idea. And so far, everybody I've said this to, they didn't know this either. I don't know about other horses, but Mustangs in fields is not good for the Mustangs. There is a specific way that Mustangs should be fenced in, and it's with trails, and it's with, you know, going up different terrains, and it's really, really interesting. And I don't know if anything will come of it, but just hearing the story about how this drone and this grant might be helpful to these wild Mustangs was like, you know, woo woo. It's just woo woo. One of my favorite words. It was just, you know, and I kind of call it God at work. Like, you know, how would we have even dreamed to create an environment like that? So when you talk about, you know, beyond limits or no limits, you know, like, I believe that we put a lot of limitations on ourselves, and the best way to break through limitations, I believe, is to be around other people who think positive possibilities as part of their, if it's not your DNA, then learn how you can start focusing more on positive possibilities.
Right.
I feel like I'm talking much now, so.
No, but if you'd like to take a breath and take a sip of something, if you can.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. I think we do impose limits on, you know, just like the woman who said, oh, I have a dream, but I don't want to write it down. You know, we think, oh, you know, maybe this dream is selfish, or maybe this dream is never going to happen no matter if I speak it out or I don't speak it out, because of X, Y, and Z. And so we've placed those limits on ourselves. And most of my guests, that's not what we talk about. We talk about, you know, the fact that they have already busted through limits of, you know, other people's perceptions of them because of a disability that they might have, or, and so in talking with you, one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on is because this was more about us personally. When people bust through limits, they often don't do it by themselves. They have someone supporting them.
Right.
And that's what you're doing through Gateway to Dreams. You're giving people the hope, the daringness to dream their dreams. And I just think that's so beautiful. And I felt like it was something that my audience needed to hear, and I needed to hear as well, because we all have those things that we don't write down, or we don't speak them out because, oh my gosh, what's somebody going to think if I say that out loud? You know, honestly, the person who said, you know, she'd like to win the Nobel Peace Prize, I'm sure that's what most people in the room thought when they were like, seriously?
Really?
Because, you know, our vision of the average person isn't winning a Nobel Peace Prize.
it's like it's too audacious for her. You know, how can she even say that out loud?
Right.
And the work she's doing is global. So it is truly something that she could win. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know. I don't like to call that a win, but, you know, be nominated for, because you're not, it's not like you're going after a prize. You're doing this passionate,
right.
This thing you have a passion for. I'd like to share something that was something I didn't realize about kind of how we are raised here in the United States anyway. I was at a conference once, and a woman named Diane Lumens was one of the leaders, you know, speakers at one of our, you know, when they're in front of the room, there's like hundreds of people in the room. She was one of our speakers, and she talked about being a single mother. And she talked about, she started reading nursery rhymes to her daughter. And she said, I never realized till I started reading them to my daughter, how dire a lot of nursery rhymes are. And I do remember honestly being a little girl, probably around 7 years old, and not being very happy with the Humpty Dumpty thing. Because in my little brain back then, he's got all the king's horses. He's got all the king's men. They could have put him back together again. So Diane and her daughter, when her daughter grew up, they actually took all the nursery, well, not all of them, but all the ones that they chose to do, and they rewrote them.
Oh.
And they made them all positive. So, of course, Humpty Dumpty, you know, they could put them back together. They could. And then the old lady who lived in a queue, she knew exactly what to do. And for each one of those poems, Jack and Jill, you know, nobody busted themselves open or anything.
Right.
And it was like this thing happened inside of me that, on an unconscious level as a child, we are hearing things that are negative that, who would have really thought that children's nursery rhymes were negative? I certainly didn't. I read them to my children.
Yeah.
But having somebody else shine a spotlight on them in a different way, I love, in fact, I had a thing about buying that for everybody who had a kid that I knew, you know, and I just felt like it was important for people to realize how we can be conditioned to be not so positive.
Right. And I do a lot of trainings of teachers on understanding behaviors and talking about similar to what you just mentioned, that, you know, those things could have been said with a more positive tone on them. And so it does take practice, because I didn't realize it was from a lot of nursery rhymes, but we are sort of conditioned to word things negatively. And so, for example, you know, if you're driving somewhere and you've got two kids in the back seat, and you know, you've gotten in, everybody's buckled, you're on your way, and then all of a sudden they're fighting with each other and they're touching each other, and oh, he's touching me. Well, she touched me first. Well, you know, we're telling
nobody,
them, stop touching.
Nobody ever hears that, do they?
Right. No, never, never. And so, you know, all the driver, the parent, whoever's in the front, you know, stop touching each other. Well, that tells them what we don't want, but it doesn't tell them what we want. And so that's kind of the negative side. So if you were to say in a more positive way, keep your hands to yourself, you know, the other person doesn't want you touching them, so let's be respectful of their feelings. And, you know, putting it in those more positive words, it still gets the same result. They're still going to stop touching each other, but hopefully they're also not going to start doing something else that you don't want.
And you're also, for yourself, you're not allowing the emotion that happens when we are frustrated get voiced out where, you know, I mean, it's like, it's better for you as well. It's better emotionally for you as well. Mm-hmm. I just saw this real, I don't remember if it was on Facebook or on TV, but I just saw this cute commercial. It must have been on Facebook or something. The parent gave the kids, little kids, rags to clean up, and the person with the dirtiest rag won. I sent that to my daughter because when she was growing up, she just thought I was ridiculous with all the games I tried to play so that we could get stuff done.
Right.
And then when she was an adult and had kids, she said, now I understand those games. But I sent it to her and I go, doesn't it sound like something I would have done? Had I known about that then. But it's kind of a little bit more positive than kind of give them a little order and just say, you know, go dust, get it dirty.
Right. Exactly. You know, and again, it gets the end result is the same. You want the house clean. You want them to learn to do the chore. So you just, how you word it makes a ton of difference. And we are in our society so bad at negatively commenting to people, and rarely do we positively comment to people. You know, like you said, you saw this gentleman, you know, and you would say good morning to him and he wouldn't respond back. You know, in a lot of other situations with different people, you know, instead of yourself being there, somebody else could have gotten snarky.
Yeah.
You know, and said, what is your problem? Why can't you answer me? Why don't you say, you know, and that happens more often than just not saying anything at all or saying, you know, well, I hope you have a good day, even though you don't say good morning to me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I just don't have energy for that. You know, like I'll just be like, I'm sorry that he, you know, like in my head, it's like, I'm sorry. I just feel like for someone like him, he almost was programming himself in some ways not to have a good day, you know, like
right.
I annoyed him. I know I did. And now, although, you know, that I'm more aware, I wish I would have been more considerate of how he preferred to handle it. You know, like I was trying to force him to be a little chirpy, good morning person like me. You know, I wake up in a good mood. I don't need coffee. In fact, one of my girlfriends just sent me, there was a thing on Facebook. How do people who don't drink coffee, what do they do?
You know? Right. I've seen stuff like that.
And I said, I drink cold water. I love ice water in the morning. So mm-hmm. I'm definitely not like maybe normal, but I wish I would have been a little bit more considerate of him, if that makes any sense.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. And I think no matter how positive we are or how upbeat or whatever words you want to use to describe that, I think we can still always improve. So, you know, because we are going to always find ourselves in a situation where we wished we would have treated someone differently or said something differently. And so we just try to learn from those and move on to do.
And I'm definitely not happy all the time. So you know, I have my moments and I have my days. But, you know, coming back to the whole thing about like Gateway to Dreams, there was another piece that played into me taking on a nonprofit role. I never thought that was like not part of my goals or dreams to do that till the day it was, if that makes any sense. But mm-hmm. I was traveling internationally and I was in a book, you know, one of those stores where they sell books and magazines. And there was a book on the book stand that ended up in my hands. And I literally remember my brain saying, and why am I looking at this book? Because it was not a book that I would normally pick up. It was fiction. I'm more about personal growth or business books. But there was something on it that talked about the world changing. And it was like, you know, for the better. And right. So, yeah, I'm not going to pick up the one that says, you know, doom and gloom. But I took the book and I literally read it during that flight. And it was called Pay It Forward. They ended up making it into a movie as well. But it was about a fifth grader changing our world by teaching people how to intentionally pay it forward to three people in their lifetime. So, you know, number one, it wasn't like the random acts of kindness or the Starbucks thing. It was intentional, strategic ways we can help someone, and we don't have to do it all at one time. But, you know, it might be helping someone get a job. It might be, you know, who knows what it might be. But in the book, this little fifth grader does it and teaches people how to do it, and our world changes. And I remember being mesmerized by this. and thinking, if an 11, it's fiction. Yeah, it's fiction, but it's math. And if we could teach this. So optimistic Karen Hoffman brings the author of the book to St. Louis. We have her speak to, I don't know, 3,000 fifth graders, because that was her favorite market. You know, now I look back and I'm like, we got schools to let the kids out. We got funding for the buses. The Suburban Journal, which was still here at that time, did a whole article on this, like a pullout article. How did we make that happen? You know, like at the time, none of it seemed impossible, but now I look back right. And it's like, wow, we pulled off something. And then we took her to different places, but there was a huge part of me that was so disappointed when she left. And you're, you know, like we still haven't done that in St. Louis. So this is our 10th anniversary coming up in 2024. And I am determined to try to help St. Louis pay it forward, to get people to look at organizations or look at people that they might help. I've got such a passion now for the nonprofits. It's like, well, pick three nonprofits, you know, like over the next couple of years and do something big for them. And the thing, and this is not just about paying it forward, but I think a lot of us think everything is going to take money, everything. In fact, you'll hear somebody say it takes money to make money, or if you don't have money, you know, what do you expect? I don't find that to be true. When we started Gateway to Dreams, we had $0. I am not wealthy. My husband had retired. His company had moved out of the area. I didn't have an income coming in. Right off, a friend gave me $500 to help us open. A law firm gave us, oh my gosh, tens, maybe not tens of thousands, but thousands upon thousands. At least like $30,000 or $40,000 worth of furniture for us that they no longer needed. Wow. People volunteered their time, which is money. And we have a 10-year-old organization that when people walk into our space, they usually say, wow, you know, it feels, it's got a real neat feel to it. And yeah, there are quotes everywhere, but we didn't have money. And when people are dreaming, I say these are the three things that anybody can do. What idea might you have? What information might you have? Or what introduction might you have that could help somebody? And, you know, when you're breaking, I'm sorry that I cannot remember, is breaking through limits or what is it?
Hashtag no limits, busting through limits.
No limits, busting through limits. Well, if our head is telling us it's going to take a lot of money, how do we break through it? But right. If you start learning that when you're in a room full of people, in fact, I'm going to start something that one of my friends, we were at a conference on Friday. It was amazing. And one of my friends in the back of the room, she put up one of those, you know, I'm sorry, I'm covering the camera while I'm trying to, I'm going to show you like I can really do it on a phone. the white pieces of paper that, you know, that you flip over when you're writing things on them, a flip chart kind of a thing. Yeah. Flip chart. And she said, if there's someone you want to meet or something you need, go write it on that board in the back. And I want to add that to every one of our events now, because maybe only two people will write something, maybe more, but what if we could help those two with ideas, information, or an introduction? And there's another I that I kind of use, but it's inspiration. You know, like, can we inspire hope? To me, right. Hope, without hope, we die, literally, without hope. I was trying to think, you know, between joy and hope, for me, like, which one's my favorite word? Because I love joy. I think joy is a beautiful word. It sounds like, I don't know, bliss, joy. And to me, a lot of times the joy is when I'm with close friends or my kids or something. But hope to me is what helps us break through something You know, we get hopeful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we have to end here in just a couple of minutes. I'm trying to be very aware of the time. But I think it is that hope that propels the majority of the people that I talk about on this show. Because if you didn't believe that you could achieve something, or you didn't have hope that you could achieve something, whether you get support for that or you, you know, just with hard work, you get it done, I don't think people would do as much as they do. And you are episode 150. So I have 149 other episodes. It's not just random people that are busting through limits. It's everyday people in every walk of life, in every part of the world. I've had people from Australia and the UK. I have people who watch in Asia and in Africa. And we're all busting through these limits all the time. Having a support system helps tremendously, but even like the caterpillar going into the butterfly, if we just don't give up on our struggling days, on the really most difficult days of struggle, and we keep going forward even a little bit, progress over perfection is something that I kind of live by now. As long as I am still moving forward, I'm still reaching out for a goal, and I'm still going to hopefully attain a goal.
I can't remember exactly how this is said, so I'm trying to word it before I say it, but done now, perfect never.
Mm.
Done now, perfect never. I feel very blessed that I don't have a perfect personality that needs everything to line up perfectly. I believe it's one of my gifts. It can also bite me because I'm not going to worry about every little detail. I have a belief that the first time we do something will be the worst time we do it. And each episode gets about, you know, 150. Mm-hmm. You know how much you learn probably in the first 10. Probably in the first 10, you learned more than the rest of them because you were just getting started. You're just, you know, like I talk about sometimes, you know, the baby who's trying to walk, they don't give up. Those little guys fall down on their butts and they get right back up and try it again. And so for us to give up, I've had so many beautiful friends that they have to get everything perfect. It will never be. You will never do it if you wait. Yep. So done now, perfect never.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's absolutely beautiful. Well, Karen, I know you have to go, so it is time to go ahead and wrap up. Do you have any final words or thoughts that you want to share before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Sometimes I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth, but there was I feel like God gives me these quotes, and there's this one quote that just kind of surfaced when we were talking about the word hope. And it was about, you know, dreams create hope. Hope inspires action. You know, about anything that you want to make happen, that action has to come too. You have to exert energy. One of the things I have learned is that if I'm going to do something, I need to set like weekly meetings or some way that you keep doing whatever it is you want to do so that you can make the thing happen. Trying one time doesn't work. It doesn't work. Right, right. And taking that action. And there was something else I wanted to share that you said something that sparked it. And I don't remember what it was, but if you wonder what your purpose is here on the planet and you look around and you say, who in the world is doing what I would love to be doing? Who is it that I'm a little jealous of that they get to do that? You know, some people might say Oprah. And is it for the fame? No. Like for me, if I was going to say Oprah, it would be because of the lives she's touched with education, with knowledge, by sharing. Mine happens to be Richard Branson from Virgin Atlantic. And it's because he has hundreds of businesses that he doesn't run. I'm an ideator. I would love that formula to have lots of more things going. And I actually am learning it, you know, through, we're calling them instead of businesses or programs, but you know, that guy is amazing. I mean, literally like hundreds of businesses. So, you know, for any of your listeners that are like, you know, people talk about passion. I don't know what mine is. Well, who is it that is doing something amazing that when you talk about it, you're kind of jealous? And then from that, what do you do? We can't all be Oprah's. She's got her own, you know, fingerprint. But what do you have in you that you could break through limits that you're putting on yourself?
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great question to leave us with. Karen, thank you again for being my guest today. And I am looking forward to whatever day it works out for me to talk to your group. And
yes.
I attended the connecting group partially just recently. So hopefully I can attend that one next month and get
you
the
did it
whole
on
time.
Zoom? You did yes. it on Zoom? Okay.
Yeah. And it was a good thing because I got the times wrong. And had I driven, I would have been even later than I was. So,
and we have a great facilitator.
Yeah. Yeah, she did a fabulous job. She chatted with us afterwards a little bit. But yeah. I want to let you go now because, like I said, I do know you have to be somewhere here in just a couple of minutes, and I don't want to make you late for that.
All right.
Join me next week, everyone, for Hashtag No Limits. And until then, keep pushing through those limits and keep making the world better for all. Bye-bye.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.